Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game 10, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What's going on, everyone? Jody Cameron, John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling this Friday morning. Beautiful early December day throughout the Delaware Valley. And, beautiful to have what I think should be a pretty compelling football game on Sunday. I mean, we like those games when you just feel super-duper confident. But it's also kind of cool when you face a good team. And the Eagles are going to face a good team on Sunday in the Tennessee Titans. We'll get into that. Intriguing matchup. We'll also, 76ers tonight back at it against the Grizzlies. Flyers, they lose last night, but of course, what else is new? In the Phils offseason, they lose Zach Eflin. If you missed the news yesterday, Zach Eflin signing with Tampa Bay. As the winter meetings begin on Sunday, we'll obviously do a deep dive on the Phillies' possibilities and the loss of someone I think we liked. He wasn't great, but we liked him, Zach Eflin, and we'll talk about that. 215-592-9494. Rich.
Hello, Joe.
Hello, buddy.
As a child, Jet Li. You know the actor?
Yeah, I do.
Jet Li,
yeah.
Martial artist.
Big deal.
Performed with the Chinese national wushu team for President Nixon.
Wow, so he's that old?
Yeah, he's 59 years old. He performed for President Nixon. Nixon asked him to be his personal bodyguard. Probably as a little joke. Tiny little Jet Li declined the invitation to be the personal bodyguard. But I thought that was amazing. I had no idea he was that old.
It's a cool fact.
He could be performing for President Nixon, yeah. But he's at the White House as a little boy.
That is a pretty cool fact. I'll say this. Cool fact is when the Eagles face a good team. Makes it harder. But, John, I'd say it makes it more fun. So let's get into this. Eagles-Titans, it's an important game.
I think it's interesting that you view it that way because I don't think it's fun when you are going up against a tough-minded, nasty bunch
Gives you some intrigue, though. Gives you something to bite on.
Intrigue meaning, you believe that the outcome is not predetermined?
That is what I mean.
Look, I flat out think the Eagles are going to lose this game.
Wow.
And I don't think that's in any way jumping out on a limb. This Titans team has looked really formidable, really tough, really great on the ground, their defense – hasn't allowed more than 20 points in the last 8 weeks. They are, Mike Vrabel is I don't even know if I can call him a cohort of mine. We are the same year, Mike and I, and we played in the Big 33 game against one another.
Yep.
He went to Ohio State. I went to Michigan. I feel like I've known Mike Vrabel for a long time in a football sense.
And he's one of those guys you respect. I mean,
we were reps together back when I was playing.
Right.
Yeah, he is absolutely respected around this league because of the type of person he is, which is very intense, very just tough, but single-minded tough. And that's something that I respect a lot. And this team plays like that.
They do.
This team plays like that. And they are going to test your manhood. They're going to say, here's what we do. You go ahead and try to stop it.
Right.
On both sides of the ball. It's nothing fancy. Actually, you know what? On the defensive side, they mix things up, and it is kind of fancy from a defensive perspective. We're talking about a guy who was trained under Belichick.
Of course.
He's going to throw some cool stuff out there at you. But the bottom line is, I think this Titans team is tougher than this Eagles team.
Physically.
Physically in the run game, and that's going to show up.
Wow.
And we're going to end up, I'm not saying it's going to be a blowout.
Right.
I don't think the Titans aren't a scare you type of, hey, we're going to put 50 points up on the board offense, but they're good at stopping, every offense that they've played for the last 2 months. And, our offense is struggling a little bit, even though we put up all sorts of great rushing
numbers. The passing game is.
What happened? This is a really tough, solid, sound team. and they are licking their chops because I'm telling you, Mike Vrabel all week long is saying this Eagles team, they think they're better than you are. Look at this tape. Look what we can do. Look how we can pry them apart with our run game. And Derrick Henry, I mean,
he's a great player.
Just look at him. Look at him, the size. Think of, in the back of your mind, the way we tackle as a team defense. It doesn't match up. It's basically, for me, this matchup is the worst we've seen all year, you know, in favor of the Eagles. Like it favors the Titans in my mind. And so I am steeling myself. I'm preparing myself for disappointment.
Well, look, we'll see what everyone thinks about it at 215-592-9494. I'm fascinated to find out again everyone's thoughts. 215-592-9494. Expectations for this game, Eagles-Titans. What you think of John picking Tennessee, and obviously what we're keying in on the game. I'll say this, John. I wouldn't pick Tennessee. I'm not picking Tennessee. I understand, though, the Eagles could lose. I mean, certainly in a world where you face now, you know, 17 different, you know, 17 games, and we've come accustomed to the Eagles, generally speaking, winning, and by extension, we just kind of keep picking the Eagles.
It's unrealistic. Where we are right now as a fan base, right. Our mindset, it is unrealistic, Joe. We've got one loss, and we seem to think that, you know, we're going to have a clean slate the rest of the season.
Right.
We're playing good teams down this
stretch.
Well,
there are some, and they're probably not going to go 16-1, which means they're going to lose somewhere along the line in all likelihood, and this game or the Dallas game is the more...
Oh my gosh!
Too much likely.
I would be not surprised at all. We lose this game. We lose the Dallas game. We could even lose to the Giants one time. And guess what? If we lose all those games, we're still 13-4.
Right.
We're still 13 and four. Joe.
No, I get that. But
that's the way the NFL works.
Yeah.
You don't have teams going 16-1.
Right.
That's crazy.
But
talk.
I will say this. I hear you. They could go 13-4, 14-3. We'll see. But I don't want to say they're playing with fire. It's not nearly the right way to frame it. I'll say this. The margin of who they're ahead is still not that great, even though they're 10-1. Like, Minnesota still only has one more loss than the Eagles, and Dallas is still hanging around. I'm not worried about the division, but I'll say this. If the Eagles were to lose this game, because, you know, Dallas has a stretch up ahead here where they're about to face some chump opponents. James, what do they got? They got a Jacksonville in there?
They got Indy this week, Houston the next week, and then Jacksonville.
Yeah.
So the three bad AFC South teams.
Right, no, exactly. So, you know, you want to see the Eagles keep pedal to the metal because if they were to, for instance, drop the Tennessee game, and they could, I don't think they will, but they could, then you do start having, you know, theoretically an issue with the division if Dallas starts rattling off some wins. Look, I'll say this, Sean. Everyone can jump in, 215-592-9494. Let me tell you what I want to see this weekend. I mean, other than the Eagles win. Let me tell you what I want to say. Number one, I want to see Nick Sirianni, Michael Clay, that's the special teams coach for those that don't know, whoever makes decisions on personnel. Actually, beginning of the year, we found out Howie Roseman's involved in some...
Remember what a problem that was?
In some preparation for game day management. I want adjustments of who's out there. Now, I can't tell you because I don't know. I really honestly don't know. I don't know who the culprit or culprits are on special teams. But number one, I need changes. Okay? So whoever is not effectively running down there and tackling people in coverage units, that guy's probably got to get deactivated. I mean, I literally mean deactivated. There should be one or two new players in this game for the Eagles with one or two guys we've been accustomed to seeing on Sunday's play no longer playing because someone's not measuring up. I don't know who it is. I don't study special teams film. I just know this.
Maybe we've got Davion Taylor up from the practice squad. Maybe, remember him?
I do remember him. Like, somebody's a culprit. I don't know who the culprit is. Somebody's got to go.
A lot of people. That's the problem is, Joe, it's not like an easy fix because you've got a lot of guys who are
John, there's got to be two or three of the worst. Like whoever they are.
Like Andre Sacheré?
Figure it out.
Could be
N'Kobe Dean.
It might be N'Kobe Dean.
If N'Kobe Dean doesn't play on defense,
he's a core special
and he plays on special teams, like
right.
maybe he, I don't know, somebody ain't getting the job
seems
done.
Seems like a nice guy, all but right. doesn't seem like the special
right.
teams are
correct.
Yeah, performing.
So like this is hey Sirianni, I'm looking at you to make sure you make those adjustments because this can't keep going on. That's number one. Number two, speaking of adjustments, I thought they did a really nice job last week. I want to see more of it. The Sirianni, Steichen, Hurts, Troika, I want to see them with the counterpunch to what defenses are going to do and kind of more do in order to try to stop the, what the Eagles do on offense. Like last week, my God, they ran the ball and they ran it effectively. But we do know that the passing game has been kind of pedestrian lately. And we also know 2 games ago and 3 games ago, we saw in the running game, we saw some issues of confusion with Hurts and giving the ball to Miles Sanders or not, and the way Yannick Ngakoue played the Eagles that game 2 games ago. So, listen, this isn't code red, guys. The Eagles are 10-1. They had 363 yards rushing last week. But I want to see the passing game evolve. I want to see A.J. Brown more involved again because something's gone a little weird there in the last month. And it just,
I'm not worried about A.J. Brown this week.
Why? Because you think he'll go off against Tennessee?
I do, yeah. But that does, you know, part of the problem with the fumbles the last 2 weeks has been, you know, he's always going to fight for those extra yards. Expect that and then some against his former team that there's some bad blood with. That does put the ball at risk. But that's also something that they've been focusing on all week.
Yep.
They've been, you know, inculcating into A.J. Brown. You know, tuck it away, tuck it away. They're going to strip you. He knows everyone on this team that we're about to play, and he wants to show them up. And a guy that talented, he can do it. And this staff, I promise you, they are planning to help him show his former team up.
Sure.
So they're drawing up plays. Right. You're going to see some creative stuff, which I really am looking forward to.
Well, I'm looking forward to that, too. And I'll give you one more and then right to the phone, 215-592-9494. While I am clearly, and anyone that's listened to me the last couple weeks knows, I'm not as down on the Eagles' run defense as John. John does think it's borderline code red time. I don't.
I'm worried about it.
But I'll say, I don't know if code red is red. Is it red alert? What am I trying to say? Not code red. We don't have to go take a pillow and, you know, go to a guy's bed and beat him up, whatever they would do in the, you know, in the army. And what was that movie, A Few Good Men?
A Few Good Men.
All right, whatever the phrase is I'm trying to say.
DEFCON 5 or whatever it is. DEFCON 3,
whatever it is. All right. Here, I'll say this. I'm not as concerned on the run defense as John, but with this game against Derrick Henry, knowing that the Eagles could face the San Francisco 49ers in a conference title game at Lincoln Financial Field, and that is a really tough run-oriented offense, I really want to see how Kaiser White and Hassan Reddick, two smallish linebackers, hold up in the run game against a big freaking running back and a big group offensive lineman like the Tennessee Titans and Derrick Henry. Like, this game, this is the kind of team that the Eagles will face in the playoffs if they face San Francisco. Or by the way, or to an extent, Dallas, who's got a great run game. It's different, but they got a great run game. This is not the Kansas City game if they get to the Super Bowl. This is not Buffalo. Those teams are going to be dropping back with their quarterback and slinging it around.
Yeah.
But this is the kind of game the Eagles will deal with
like-minded
to get through Dallas or San Francisco in the playoffs that'll run the ball. And I just fundamentally want to see how will Kaiser White and Hassan Reddick hold up against that kind of rushing attack. That's what I'm looking at this weekend.
And on the positive side, and I'm worried, I expect Derrick Henry to come out of a slump. He's been slumping. I hate that. I hate the fact that the Titans lost last week to the Bengals, and it was a tough-fought loss. It was 20-16. Derrick Henry, for the last 3 weeks, you know, this week he's been hearing about their past 3 games where he's averaged 59 yards on the ground per game.
Yep.
Now, was it last week that he had that long, short pass he took to the house and then fumbled in the end zone and the rookie fell on it? So that didn't count. That's basically a run. But he went from averaging 109 yards per game over their first 8 games to just 59 in the past 3. Now, the Broncos' defense is really solid. The Packers, they schemed to stop him. That was their focus. The Bengals also, they did what they could to neutralize him, but I don't know that we have it in us. I am very fearful that our run defense will not be up to this task.
All right, look, we'll see where everyone stands. 215-592-9494, your expectations, Eagles, Titans. What do you think, John Pick in Tennessee? What do you make of that? And also, what are you keying in on for this game? It is an intriguing matchup. It is one of the better teams they'll face the entire regular season. We'll get into the Zach Eflin storyline and more up ahead as well. Joe to Cameron Jenrich, your phone calls all show. 215-592-9494 on 94 WIP. Yeah, All right, Jonah Camera and John Ritchie. It is 94 WIP as we get ready for the Eagles and Titans Sunday at Lincoln Financial Field. The 10-1 bird sounds nice to say. We've only said it a few times in our life. This is right around, I'll just say this, and I'm not trying to scare anybody. This is right around in the 2017 season.
Oh, man.
When Carson Wentz got injured. God forbid if there was a Jalen Hurts injury up. I'm just.
Why even say it?
I'm just saying because they were.
Why even say it?
They were 10-1. Then they lost to Seattle, I think, to get to 10-2. And then they played a game in Los Angeles. I believe the date was December 3rd, if I remember right. And they won the game, but they lost Carson. Now, in the end, Eagles won the Super Bowl.
How's everyone doing?
Thank you, Nick Foles. But I'm just saying, you never know. You just never know what's around the corner. So we'll see what happens this Sunday. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. What are you keying in on this game? Your expectations for it? Your opinion of John's opinion that the Eagles will lose? I certainly know they could, but I wouldn't go there from a pick standpoint just because it's so, I don't want to say so unlikely, but it's just not what they've done much this year. To the phones, Dennis in Springfield kicks us off. Hi, Dennis.
Good morning, guys. Happy Friday it is. Before I get to John's points, you got all week, it's been getting progressively worse and progressively louder that the Visigoths are coming to town. and we have poor us, hide the women and the children. You make it sound like it's Ohio State playing St. Joe's Prep. I mean, my God, we have professional football players, and we have men.
Yeah.
We have guys who played these guys in college.
But, Dennis, I wouldn't underestimate Tennessee, man. They're 7-4. They've had a good run for about 5 years in a row. Like, they're a good team, man.
We're a great team.
And I'm not saying that. As a matter of fact, they're my favorite AFC team. I enjoy watching them play.
I did, too.
But they're such bullies, and they're such tough guys that – they lost in the first round of the playoffs last year. They have one win this year against a winning team. They beat up on the AFC South every year. And when they finally play a good team or a team with a winning record, they're limited in how they can beat that team. The reason they run the ball and have a great running game is because that's all they can do. They can't beat you passing. They can't beat you with Tannehill. So they have to design their team to pound it down your throat. And there's only maybe like 2-3 teams in the league that do that anymore. So most defenses aren't set up to stop that. And they take advantage of that until they play a really good team. And believe it or not, despite all you might hear in national media, the Eagles are a really good team.
Oh, sure.
I agree with you. We are a really good team. And I'm not saying this is the Visigoths coming to town. I'm saying this is a team that will be prepared. They are well coached, and they have the right mindset. They're going to come at us and hit us where it hurts most, and that's their plan. And they're going to keep doing that. That's part of it. The battle of attrition. They wear you down. And I know it sounds sort of cliche, but I think it works. Not many teams approach it this way.
Well, I'm sure they're looking at that Washington film, I'm sure, and saying, let's stick to that.
No question.
Let's do that.
But they will be in trouble. They will be in trouble if we get way up on them. But then again, I think, hey, we've been up on teams. It feels like we're up on teams by 2 touchdowns most weeks.
Yep. John, Derrick Henry, Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
He's close. I don't know if he's there yet, but he's close. 1 or 2 more years, he's definitely there. He's getting really close. Let's go to Dan in Northeast Philadelphia. Hi, Dan.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey, Dan.
I just wanted to touch on Jonathan Gannon's scheme in particular, or his philosophy, whatever you want to call it. It kind of worries me for this week. I understand that the run defense in itself is a concern, but his whole defense is predicated on stopping the big play. And I think that plays right into Tennessee's hands. I feel like they're the type of team that's not necessarily looking for a big play. They're the type of team that can go, 9-play, 43-yard drive where they don't even score, but they just beat you up. And by the end of the game, you're so worn down that they're able, just to inflict their will on you. Mm-hmm. And that's what's most concerning to me about this week is because I don't think he'll adjust that. And I think maybe some run blitzes or something to change it up so we can force some 3-and-outs would be beneficial just because – Fletcher Cox and Ndamukong Suh, all of them guys, they're older, man. So if they get beat up that first half, Derrick Henry is going to run the ball down our throat the second half, and that's what's concerning.
Well, he's going to have to change it up. I expect Jonathan Gannon to change it up this week, and he's looking at that Bengals tape from last week where they just shoved tons of bodies in the box, and they were able to neutralize Derrick Henry for the most part. We will do that. I expect that. And so that brings a whole other set of issues where – you know, there are times where our defense gets taken advantage of because guys aren't in the right place, in the right gap, doing the right assignment. We are now, this week, I expect us to have a bunch of guys with new assignments. This is not something they're accustomed to playing this way. And so they have to be on top of, you know, the homework this week, so to speak. And it's going to be a new look. This game will look different. And that worries me.
I think it's important, too, that, you know, we get on the board first early.
Sure.
You know, build somewhat of a lead to kind of force them to throw the ball or, you know, to have to move the ball efficiently. I just feel like if it's a tight game, you're just playing right into their hands. So I feel like, you know, the offense needs to get on the board early. And I honestly think that something just to close that hole up, because Tannehill, honestly, he doesn't scare me, dude. He kind of...
Well, I'll tell you that, Dan, I will tell you this. I appreciate the call, man. I've heard a lot of people this week say Tannehill doesn't scare me, and I'll agree, he doesn't scare me. But I know there's some people out there who think he stinks or he's below average. I don't think he is. I think he's solid. You know, I mean, look, I haven't seen every game in that guy's career, but I've certainly seen the playoff games and all. And you know, I think that guy's all right. I really do. I think that dude... I mean, I think he's better than Taylor Heineke. I'm trying to go up the ladder here, meaning he's better than Carson Wentz.
I think he's
an average quarterback. No, but
average.
But average can beat you. I mean, Taylor Heineke is
average can beat you
average
when you've
best.
Got a good team around the quarterback.
Yeah, that's part of it.
That's the 49ers.
I agree with you.
These teams are very similar in my mind, the way that they approach this.
We have to give away today a $25 gift card to Wawa. Always love a little Wawa action. $25 for you there. How are we giving it away today? Well, let me say this. It is Britney Spears' birthday, John. Britney Spears, what is she, early 40s now at this point, something like that?
She was born the same year as me, so she's 41.
41 years old for Britney Spears. And, John, a lot of notes. By the way, I got a text from Seltzer yesterday. This cracked me up, James.
Yeah, my wife and I were having an argument.
So, James, the
Joe took my wife's side.
I did, without knowing who was on which side.
Yes, yes.
John, I want you to split the difference here. There was a discussion yesterday between James and his wife, which is, what's the term, James? The bigger song, the more prominent song?
More prominent song.
More prominent.
Better, more prominent. The whole, like,
right.
It was...
Bigger song for Britney, more prominent, Oops, I Did It Again, or Hit Me Baby One More Time. Which way would you vote?
I think it's Oops.
I don't think it is.
Thank you, John.
Hit Me Baby One More Time kind of sprang the whole Britney thing. But anyway, that aside, Oops, I Did It Again is a notable song. And it's, I mean, it's a good song.
It's a very good song. You know. It's a good catch.
Good old Britney. 41 years old. Oops, she did it again. She has a birthday today. All right, so here's the deal. Let's have some fun with this one today. I want to hear from everyone at 215-592-9494. In honor of Britney and this Oops, I Did It Again song, who did it again? Now, what does it mean to do it again? It means you have to have done something. And maybe it's sort of in the unique variety of some degree. And then somehow that person or that entity, it can be a company, did it again. Like, John, like, let me give you an example. Phil Jackson did it again. By the way, he did it again twice. He had a three-peat with the Chicago Bulls, 1991, 92, 93. You know, there's a chance that's the last three-peat of his career. And the three-peat is really rare. I mean, it's really, really rare. I think he was the first guy to do it since Auerbach, if I remember right, because Pat Riley never. I think he was the first guy since Auerbach to do a three-peat. And then a couple years later, he did it again with Michael Jordan again, 96, 97, 98. And then a couple years after that, oops, he did it again with the Los Angeles Lakers with Kobe and Shaq. By the way, he almost did it again when he got to a two-peat and then fell short of the three-peat. So he actually, oops, did it again twice. John, give me a great answer. There's so many different ways to go when you think of someone who did it again. You got to be kind of creative here. Give me a good answer.
Nick Cannon.
Nick Cannon.
Number.
that ain't right, man. That ain't right.
Nick Cannon.
Number 12 is on the way.
That ain't right.
That's a great answer.
Nick Cannon, you're unbelievable, man. Seltzer, and I want to hear from everyone. 215-592-9494. Put the thinking caps on, boys and girls. Who did it again?
Well, it's funny because I obviously was not thinking of Nick Cannon, but when he started to say his answer, I thought he was going to steal my answer. Okay. I got some audio to play my answer. Okay.
James, what a great answer. He did it three times. So he did it again twice.
Yeah.
He did it in the – was it the first game of the playoffs?
Was the first game of the World Series.
No, but what was the first time he did it?
The Atlanta game.
Game one, right?
Game one in Atlanta.
Right, yep. So if he misses that, the game's over, I think.
That one would have been, like, tied if he did it, remember? And then with a runner on third.
And then he did it.
And then game one of the World Series, he did it.
Right.
And saved the game because they would have lost.
Right.
And then he did it game three, the first game at home, and he played to the crowd.
Unbelievable. He made three catches that were virtually identical. Yeah. Yeah, so he did it again twice. All right, give us a great answer. Kind of get creative here. Someone's got to do something. It's a little unique maybe. And then they did it again. Hit us up, 215-592-9494. That in addition to all the talk, obviously, about the Eagles and Titans, the game Sunday. Let's go to Rasheem in North Philly. Hi, Rasheem.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, buddy.
Great, Rasheem.
Castellanos was a great answer, man. Go ahead, Rasheem.
Hearing from John, I would think that, you know, the Tennessee Titans are the 10-1 team. The Eagles come in as a 7-4 team. The Tennessee Titans has four losses for a reason because, yes, they're a very good coach team, but they're very limited. And I think, you know, hopefully we get the big fella back for this game. And I think that, you know, that'd be huge. But I do agree with Joe and I do agree with you guys as far as being able to say that this is something that this style of play – it's something that you might see in the playoffs, especially,
yeah.
I think, more so with the Cowboys because they run more straight at you. I think the 49ers are a little bit more, you know, play-action-based, you know, almost like, you know, sideline to sideline to try to confuse you. The Titans aren't going to do no confusion. Like, we know what they're going to do. They're going to hand Derrick Henry the ball.
Right.
They're going to try to possibly throw the ball to Traylon Burks, you know, but that's about it. So I do see that this is a game that the Eagles will win. I'm very confident in this game, but this is something that I do want to see Jalen Hurts be able to perform well because, you know, I'm tired of hearing the naysayers and you know, I guess everybody across the league seems like everybody is down on the Eagles after one loss. So I think this could be like almost like a statement when if we come out, you know.
Well, you're right, Rasheem. It would be. I mean, if the Eagles win this game, and I don't know exactly where they stand in all the power rankings this week, but it's the kind of game that could give the national folks the impetus to say, come on, let's stop messing around. Let's put the Eagles number one.
There's a lot of places where they're two this week.
Two behind KC.
Yeah.
Look, I will say, Rasheem, I will say this. The Eagles can be a really great team and still be legitimately two, meaning Kansas City's a great team, too. I mean, they're just a great team.
But this is not a loss that I have on our schedule. Yes, the Tennessee Titans is a good team, and Mike Vrabel is a good coach, and they're a world coach. But so are the Eagles. The Eagles don't commit a lot of penalties. The Eagles are a world coach team. Now, special teams is something different. That's something that we have to tighten up. I don't know what we need to do on special teams, but we got to do something because it's not working. Like, I don't know how you're checking the ball 7 yards out and getting to the 50-yard line and expecting the defense to be able to stop teams when you only got to get two first
downs. It's awful. Listen, somebody's got to go. Doesn't mean the guy has to be cut, but somebody's got to get deactivated and someone else.
Damn.
Huh?
I said, no, you're right, because you can't have Jake Elliott save two touchdowns, I think, last week and the week before last, because even though he didn't tackle the guy, he had to get in the way for
get
somebody
in the way.
Else to tackle.
I saw that. Rasheem, give me a great answer, man. Who or what did it again?
Obama, two terms. You know,
yeah, sure. Well, sure. Obama, two. I mean, it goes for any president, two terms. But, yeah, Obama, two terms. Absolutely right. 215-592-9494. I'll say this. That answer isn't going to be a great answer from this standpoint. There's, like, 15 presidents that have done two terms. So you're not, you know, too unique.
There is a good president answer. But
there is. I agree with that, James. There is a two-term president answer that's a better answer because it's more unique. Obama, two terms. Bush, two was two terms. Reagan was, I'm going backwards in order. Reagan was two terms. Prior to that, well, Nixon was two terms, but that second term didn't end.
Didn't
end the way it was supposed to end. And then prior to that, I guess you'd go to Eisenhower, right? Yeah, Eisenhower's two terms.
I love what you're asking me. You're the
And prior
the
to that was FDR with four. Well, technically.
Three and a half.
Truman technically had two, but one was truncated. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Tom in Abington right now. Yo, Tom.
Yo, fellas. How we doing today?
Great, Tom.
All right. So before I get to the Eagles, real quick on Glenn Rivers. Like, what a disgrace. A scheduled loss. Can we have a scheduled firing? Can we arrange that?
You know, someday it'll probably happen, Tom. Today's just not that day.
He's probably going to leave on his own. Yeah, they'll never fire him at this point.
It's unbelievable. All right, so moving to the Eagles. Are you guys aware that the top three receivers for Tennessee have a total of 3 touchdowns this year?
No, that's amazing.
Has 7.
Wow.
Like, it just goes to show you that this team is so one-dimensional offensively. I don't see how the Eagles lose this game.
Oh, well, I think you should see a way. I mean, come on, Tom. Tennessee's 7-4. I mean, we're not talking about the 2-9 team here, man.
I understand, but being one-faceted, just stop Derrick Henry. And I know, yeah. Jeff, I get it.
No,
he's King Henry, but
I agree with what you're saying. If the Eagles jump out on this team, I do feel confident that there's no way that they can lose. I don't see that happening, though. I mean, I hope it does. I hope it does. But this is, again, we are getting everyone's best plan. We're getting every player's best game because we're where we are. We're 10-1,
John, I've been defending Jonathan Gannon. I actually like Jonathan Gannon. I like what he's doing. But going into this game, with everybody looking at it and seeing that what we need to do is stop Derrick Henry, if he doesn't put a game plan in place,
yeah,
I'm off the JG train.
Yeah, sure. That makes sense. And I think it'll be very easy to tell. I mean, you can look at the way our D-line is deployed and watch the linebackers, watch how many guys we have up there in the box. There were some snaps from that Cincinnati game where, you know, we're accustomed to seeing either 4 or 5 D linemen in our front.
Yeah.
There were times where Cincinnati would have 6. There are times where you would have 7. I expect to see it loaded up as we've seen it all year. And you know, but the Titans also know that. And that's part of their
Titans
game plan.
Titans are also banged up, too, from what I understand. They got a lot of injuries.
Their O-line is bad, and that helps.
All right, Tom, give me a great answer, man. Who did it again?
Okay, I'll give you the name, and then I'll have to explain it.
Okay.
The name is Tsutomu Yamaguchi.
Okay.
And this gentleman was in Hiroshima when the first bomb was dropped on Japan. He was within 5 miles. He dove under his desk. He survived it. Now they send him home to recuperate.
Wow.
Guess where he lives?
Yeah,
it's a true story.
Hiroshima. And he survived that
one.
Well,
you got it backwards. Nagasaki was second. Hiroshima was
I'm sorry. Yeah, right. And then he lived till he was like 89.
Wow. Jeez.
It's a true story. I've seen this before. Isn't that
wild? That's got winning answer potential. Tom, good call. Surviving both
it's
bombs.
It's absurdity.
Surviving both bombs.
Come on, man.
That is wow. That's wild, man. All right, up ahead, we'll get into the Zach Eflin situation. Phil's lost him. To what extent they wanted him, who knows? We'll see eventually what Dave Dombrowski says publicly. But they certainly have a hold of Phil now. There's no doubt about that. So we'll get into that situation up ahead next. Plus at 11 o'clock today, bathtub time machine as we get ready for the Eagles and Titans. That and more up ahead. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on WIP. All right, Cheddar Cameron, John Rich. It is 94 WIP, Bathtub Time Machine at the top of the hour. A lot of Eagles Titans talk this week. By the way, Bathtub Time Machine will obviously be some Eagles Titans, but also some Eagles Oilers. For those of you 40 and up or so that remember the House of Pain game, just know it will indeed be featured because the Oilers became the Titans. As Zach Eflin, John, has become a Ray. He goes from the Phillies to the Rays. To me, the whole thing makes sense. Now, I'm bummed because I like Zach Eflin. He's not great. He's not bad. He's maybe slightly above average, but very untrustworthy from a health standpoint. I don't mean health. I mean, you know, arm health. You just never knew when he was going to be available and finish a season or start a season. Mm-hmm. So here's the deal. Zach Eflin, James, his opt-in for the Phillies would have been how many? 15 million?
15.
So here's the deal. For those that don't know, he opted out a couple weeks ago from what would have been a one-year, $15 million deal. And at the time, it's like, didn't see that coming. Kind of unexpected. Kind of a bummer. See if they get him or not. Well, he turns around yesterday and he gets a new deal with the Tampa Bay Rays, and it's 3 years, $40 million. And my instincts are, okay, that actually makes sense for him from this standpoint. He wants to cash in. He wants the security of the $40-ish million deal instead of the $15 million deal. And the Phillies probably, with their young pitchers coming from the farm system, probably were, because I'm sure Eflin would have preferred to stay here. Like, him and his agent were probably saying, hey, Phils, we're happy to stay, but give us a three-year, 40-something million-dollar deal, and we'll be your fourth starter. And the Phillies are probably saying, yeah, we like you, but we don't love you. We really can't trust if you're going to be healthy. And we've got Painter coming, and we got Abel coming, and we got all these other pitchers. They're not quite ready yet, but we think they're going to be better than you in 2 years and 3 years. And so, like, no, we're not going to give you the 3 year, $40 million deal. He opts out. Tampa Bay gives it to him. Now, in the short term, Phil's got to get a new fourth starter. So, you guys agree with my instincts? That's probably the way it went down. He wanted a deal here. They probably weren't willing to give it to him. He opts out. He goes to Tampa. Phil's got to find someone else.
Yeah, I think they love Zach Eflin. I think they love him as a guy.
They love him as a guy.
They don't believe that. Look, they know his medicals.
Right.
They know exactly what's going on with his body, and they knew that he was not worth that. 3 years, $40 million.
But here's the thing: he could be like.
I actually think it's a really good contract
for them.
I would. Again, I don't know. It's all about other options and who else is out there and who you're signing. But if you asked me, would I take Zach Eflin on a 3 year, $40 million deal? I would do it in a second.
You know that's.
Do you think the
Phillies
made a mistake, James?
Maybe. I mean, I can't say that until I know what they do. Right? Like, I don't know who they're going to sign to fill
but
that role.
But James, let me ask you this. I hear you. You don't know until it's all decided.
Yeah.
But the Phillies obviously had to make that decision.
Sure.
Before knowing who they would get. If you, James, were the Phillies, and a month ago could have said to Zach Wheeler privately, absolutely, we will commit 3 years and $40 million
to Eflin, you said.
To Zach Eflin.
Yeah.
Would you have given him, if you're the Phillies, a month ago, three years and $40 million?
Actually, it's funny, because a month ago, I don't know, but after seeing the other contracts that have been signed, like Mike Clevenger getting 1 year, $12 million, Matt Boyd getting 1 year, $10 million, like, Eflin's better than those guys, so I probably would have signed him, yeah.
John, I'm sorry.
The largest guarantee the Rays have ever given to a free agent signed away from another team.
That is incredible.
Isn't that wild?
That says that so much wild. About the way they're run.
It's wild.
That's unbelievable.
They have confidence, and the Rays seem to know what they're doing.
Well, here's what they're hoping for. Listen, he's not going to turn into Zach Wheeler, but if you do remember, part of the reason the Mets weren't enamored with keeping Wheeler and the Phillies were able to get him was there was injury history with Wheeler. Mm-hmm. And you hope a player of that age who's had injury history, you know, things align right and he no longer gets hurt, and away you could go and you can have a great career. And that's,
I will say, a smart team signed him. I'm serious. I look at that and I say, like, it wasn't like the freaking, you know, what if Tigers who signed him or whatever.
Right.
It's like a really smart baseball team. So that makes me think even more so, maybe we should have signed him.
Well, look, we'll take your thoughts on the Eflin thing. I mean, I am kind of bummed because I did like him. Now, he wasn't great, but I do think there was always more potential to be better. And maybe he will be with Tampa Bay. What do you make of it? And obviously the void that needs to be filled. I mean, I think we all know fifth spot will probably be one of the young starters from the minors, although maybe not April 1st. So they're going to have to sign at least one veteran pitcher, maybe a second. And that's a hole to fill. I mean, that is a hole to fill. 215-592-9494 to wait on the Phillies in addition to the Eagles. Let's talk to Anthony in South Philadelphia. Hi, Anthony.
Hi, Joe. How are you, buddy? Hi, John.
Hey, Anthony.
Hi, guys. I got 2 points. To me, this game is tailor-made for Jalen Hurts to win with his arm. These numbers are off the top of my head, but
sure.
I think I'm pretty accurate. They're 25th against the pass and second or third against the run, Tennessee's defense. Mm. If I was the Eagles, and they're getting no production right now from their tight end spot at all, I would eliminate the tight end, not totally, but to a great extent, and I'd have Zach Pascal in there. He's big enough to give you some blocking, and you got another option in your pass.
Yeah, here's what I don't like about it, though, Anthony. The Eagles do a lot of success comes on the edge with because Hurts runs and because they threaten the Hurts run, and a tight end is just a better blocker than a wide receiver. I would be very careful with dialing back the tight ends. I know what you're saying. These guys aren't Goddard.
But Pascal's a good blocker.
Yeah, but he's not—he's not a tight end. I'm just saying, I'd be careful on that.
Our tight ends, look, Jack Stoll will block. Grant Calcaterra,
right?
Not the greatest blocker.
Not a ton. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Anthony.
No. Listen, I understand your points. I just think Pascal's a big enough receiver that he can give you some blocking and give you good pass catching.
I absolutely think he can. You know,
that's why I said it.
Anthony, I am worried, though, about Zach Pascal. He was on the injury report this week. Both he and Devontae Smith, they're on the injury report with groin issues.
Oh.
So okay. I saw Pascal had, I think, like 9 snaps on offense in this last game. Right. I was shocked at that. And then when I saw him appear on that injury report, a groin is tricky.
That's bad, yeah.
I'm wondering if that has something to do with the lack of.
Yeah, I didn't know that, John. That's good info. Yeah. Okay. And Joe, listen, I know you and John too. I know you guys think I'm all over Gannon, but I was looking inside some of the numbers with this guy, and the reason I keep telling people that he has to blitz more is because of this fact. You realize in 2 games this year, we had 9 sacks against Washington. Well, Carson Wentz holds the ball 1.5 hours in the pocket, and we had 6 sacks against Kenny Pickett with Pittsburgh, a kid who's played 4 or 5 games. We got a total of 36 sacks this year, and 15 of them came in 2 games.
Yeah.
So yeah. I hear. Listen, Anthony. Look, I don't think the pass rush is good enough.
We share your concern.
Yeah, I've been very clear about that, especially this week. Anthony, give me a great answer, man. Who did it again?
Well, I'm going to give you a guy who did it again and again. He got benched and were traded from 3 teams. Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz is horrible.
That's
a good answer.
Yeah, it is a good answer.
You know,
it is a good answer.
The pass rush is not what we want it to be. It's not what we've seen it be here, you know, over the last 5 years.
Correct.
Even. But I don't think that blitzing is even a consideration for Jonathan Gannon. I believe that they're going to continue to just hope beyond hope. And what they did, they tried to address it. Remember, Robert Quinn was supposed to be a big addition.
Yep.
And Dominican Sue, he's known for getting penetration, getting in there, making plays. They're trying to make the pass rush better, and it's not working. But still, I don't think they're going to all of a sudden say, you know, Jonathan Gannon will say, yeah, you know what? What the heck? Let's send extra guys.
Right.
Let's put more pressure on our secondary that's now even further depleted. Just to try to get pressure on a quarterback. I don't think it's going
to
happen.
All right, let's go to Evan right now in Bucks County. Hi, Evan. Oh, Evan just dropped off. Let's go to Tyrone. Hello, Tyrone.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Going great, Tyrone.
Oh, awesome. Looking forward to the game with the Eagles. But now, this is only my opinion, but I'm looking at the some of the previous Eagles opponents with the running game.
Yep.
And they had both of the teams featured like huge backs, like 235, 250-pound backs. So I think the Eagles are kind of conditioned to going up against the back. So Henry is the best of the bunch statistically. But I think if one thing that they may have learned is the game plan that they're using in the interior blocking schemes. Because I noticed Minnesota, what they're doing, they're pulling the tackle inside, switching places with the guard. And he's taking on the linebacker. And it's causing a lot of problems downfield. That's where you get these gaping holes. So I think one of the things the linebackers have to do in this game is to defeat that block. And I know, John, you had mentioned that earlier in the year with the Eagles' smallish linebackers that they would have issues.
Yeah.
And I think if the Eagles, on the other hand, if they can reverse it and do exactly the same thing with their backs and establish the run, I think it'll be with ball control, I think it could be if you manage it correctly and they're effective, I think it'll be – not an easy win, because there's no such thing as an easy win. But I see the Eagles running away with this game if they can effectively establish their run to keep the Titans off the field.
Yeah. It's going to be tough. I mean, this Titans defense, they are number 2 or number 3 against the run in the league. They're a tough bunch.
They are a tough team. Hey, Tyrone, give me a big answer, man. Who did it again?
I got to go. I can't think of anything other than say Denzel when he won multiple Academy Awards.
Interesting. So what was the he won for Training Day? What was the second?
He's won Glory.
Okay, well, he's saying he's going to the best supporting actor.
Yeah,
I thought he
I mean,
was
a
saying.
A lot of people have won more than one.
Yeah, exactly.
Oscar.
That's the kind of answer that won't be a winning answer because you have to – I mean, you're right. I mean, I get it. If someone's won two, you know – well, I'll just say this.
Yeah,
Tom Hanks would be a better answer.
That's what I was going to say. Tom Hanks would
be he did it back-to-back
yeah,
years.
Yeah, and also both best actor.
And both best actor. Like, that's more unique, obviously. 215-592-9494. Who did it again? I'll do it again next. Why? Bathtub up time machine. We're going in together. We are going in together. Eagles, Oilers, Eagles, Titans history. And by the way, I'm going to send John and James a picture. And people will, I think, remember this moment. And I'm looking forward to getting the reaction of a photograph I'm going to send them during the bathtub time machine. It's all up ahead next on 94 WIP.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.